Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
There is so much going on and keeping Philadelphia police busy. We'll get to all of that. But we do have in the city of Philadelphia a shooting inside a ballroom. That's the latest from Philadelphia police, as they say that this shooting inside a Philadelphia ballroom has left one man dead, two others injured after the gunfire erupted. That's the way they're saying this. Gunfire erupted in a ballroom in Philadelphia's Frankfurt section. So it happened late last night, 4600 block of Frankfurt Ave, right near Arrett Transportation Center on Oxford Ave. Investigators say dozens of bullets struck the windows, the doors, the walls, basically painting the walls inside this building, which houses several businesses, including a bar, a recording studio, as well as a hair salon. So police say all of the shots were fired inside that first floor ballroom area. At least two weapons were used, they say, including one that they believe is a high-powered rifle.
Wow. This reminds me of the scene from Ghostbusters when they destroy the ballroom trying to get Slimer. Going to be a long day, folks. I just dropped the 1984 movie reference on you.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah. What are you, some sort of cosmonaut? No, I'm an exterminator. You going up? I'll get the next one.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow.
40 shell casing.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that's it. I just threw in the promo for the week. We're good.
6:05 and we're done.
6:05 and somebody please
shoot
give
us.
Greg and, give Greg a sponsor.
Stalker wishes he was
edibles.
In that. Stalker wishes he was in that man. Ballroom last night.
Man, Jesus. Just freewheel. Whatever Dawn says, you can comment on. It's all good.
Yeah,
And that's the comment we get.
That's the comment you get. You can't even enjoy a nice outing in a ballroom, right?
Right. We're seeing the imagery. He painted the imagery inside his brain.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
boy. What a scary there it is. So they say that the first responders rushing two men in their early 30s to the hospital in critical condition. These guys were shot multiple times in the lower parts of their bodies. They are expected to survive. Again, a tribute to our amazing, combat. I think the doctors are like combat veterans in many ways, around a combat zone.
Yeah. The police are like EMS these days.
Yeah.
They work for two different organizations, technically.
And to your point, I don't know if when the police got there, did they just rush them to the hospital?
Well, I was going to ask you.
About
yeah,
that.
Was the ballroom being occupied for like a gathering?
It sounds like it.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So maybe it's a miracle that only three people were shot.
Sure.
So, but the third person, tragically, they were rushed to the hospital, pronounced at the hospital later. So they're not identifying any of these victims, especially the one who had passed away. So we have a lot of news, and some of it I can report, some of it not fully confirmed, as far as the fallout from the Eagles celebration. It's a great thing that we are the NFC championship team. Mayor Parker had spoken out about that we want to celebrate our Eagles in the NFC championship. But, the violence that happened. In all, at least four police officers, by my count, at least four police officers were injured on Sunday. And this was because of direct attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So Philadelphia police releasing this in a list of these major incidents, all of them under investigation following the celebration in the streets on Sunday night. So they include shootings, a stabbing, the assaults on police, a crash involving pedestrians, which I'll talk about that in a moment, and vandalism. So we know that at least two people were shot during that celebration. That from police, a potential third shooting scene is now under investigation. We have all of that going on. We have a Narberth woman who is accused of driving her Mercedes SUV through a crowd of celebrating Eagles fans after the team's NFC Championship victory Sunday night, injuring, police say, at least eight people in one of several dangerous incidents that came amid all of the revelry, all of the excitement.
We're playing the video. Oh, wow. Oh, my Lord.
She mowed through that whole group.
Yeah, we're playing the video right now on YouTube.
Let's, if we can re-rack that.
YouTube.com/Hope10.
You know, if you think of your kid's science experiment where you put the oil in the water and then you drop a drop of, like, Dawn dish liquid and how it just goes to the sides.
Yeah.
That's literally what you see here.
What's the injury count there?
Eight.
Wow.
At least eight.
Oh, here's the other angle.
You can see the people going down. So we have, thank you, Phil, for so multiple angles of this. But it's incredible to watch it.
You know, it's also, I think, worth pointing out, too, because I've seen some of these other videos. There's a video out there of Eagles fans harassing Commander fans, and then they yank off his, the one fan has like a Commander's winner cap on. You know, not that big of a deal, but don't touch somebody else's property or that's on their head. You know, a lot of these scumbags, these are not Eagle fans that attended the game. These are people that have shown up to, you know, let loose on the city, you know, whether they're youth or adult. It's just, it's embarrassing. And not that football in this element really matters, but it's not like we didn't win a Super Bowl 6 years ago. Yeah. So act like you've been there before.
Well, that's a good point.
You know, it's not like we're going back to like 1960 now.
I'm not defending that. This is a female driver, Dawn?
Yes. So she's under arrest. 31 people, by the way, handed citations.
Yep.
30 adults, one juvenile, and multiple arrests. But in this case, she is a Narberth resident. So she is from here. She's identified by police as 26-year-old Rebecca DeShields. And we don't know. Now, there was one report that she sped right as, remember when we aired it yesterday? You aired it yesterday when the gunshots were going off. People were just firing.
Yes.
So there was, this happened when she speeds up.
She heard the gunshot.
Somebody, that's what some people are saying, that she freaked out because the gunshots were going off as she floors it.
I'm not defending this woman, so do not take it that I'm defending this woman. But we say all the time, if you're going to block traffic like that and be, I'm sure there were people jumping up and, you know, smacking your car and all that nonsense. If you're going to do nonsense like that, then be prepared that somebody might floor it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They're in a car, you're not.
Yeah.
So act accordingly.
Yeah. Although, I mean, when you watch the speed in which she's moving, I mean, if you didn't know the circumstances, the venue, the setting, or the motives, does that look any different than the guy that zoomed down the alleyway in New Orleans?
Yes, it does. And does I have it? To tell you why. Because, guys, I'm telling you, if I'm driving or I'm trying to navigate my way through that and I hear gunshots, I don't know where they're coming from.
True.
You're damn right I'm flooring it.
True.
You're damn right I'm flooring it.
Yeah.
People in front of me be damned.
Yeah, fair
I don't. That might be an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I don't wish harm on people, but, you know.
Reasonable person standard, right?
Exactly.
What would a reasonable person do in the same situation?
Yeah.
Well, this individual, she is facing multiple counts of aggravated assault, assault by vehicle, related crimes, according to Philadelphia police. So I know they're still investigating, and we'll continue to follow that one for you. Nick, you had mentioned the police being assaulted, and I'll just mention the arrest. One assailant identified as 44-year-old Eugene Dennis. He is from Media, charged with aggravated assault and related crimes, accused of, you know, assaulting an officer. And then there's another person who is accused of attacking an officer on Patterson Ave. And that attack was, according to police, by 32-year-old Jose Moya. He's from California, Soquel, California, and he's now charged with aggravated assault. So to your point about people not being from here, none of the people that I'm seeing arrested were actually Philadelphia residents. And in the case of the California man who's under arrest and accused of police assault, you know, that one would make your case.
Yep. Okay.
So we have all of that going on. Tragically, going viral and making international news, by the way, was the story of all of these people, of course, as usual, climbing the greased poles, jumping from the poles, trying to fly from the flags on the poles, or even doing a backflip off of a huge truck or structure. I don't know. I don't have it confirmed, but the report is that one of those young men who fell to the ground is in critical condition, maybe even worse, life-threatening injuries. And so we're hearing a lot. I don't have it officially confirmed, and because you can, I possibly identify who they are. I'm like, but this is something that has gone viral.
Yeah, I did. Well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right?
Phil, I just texted it to you. I don't know. Do you guys want to?
I mean, Sergeant Mark Fu was one of those, but then somebody else said it was somebody who fell off a pole.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
Well, I mean, the guy who does a backflip, you can tell is clearly
injured.
Very injured.
Mm.
I mean, he does the backflip and he's not moving afterwards.
Because he goes right down to the concrete.
Yeah.
And it appears he hits his head and then he's unconscious.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, what are we doing? It's a football game, okay? Mm-hmm. I love football as much as the next guy, but what are we doing? It's just a reason for people to act like a-holes and idiots. Stop.
This is, and I hate to be prisoner of the moment because I hate, like, you know, when you highlight one thing and you say, well, this is a common occurrence. It's not a common occurrence. This is why I have no interest in going to big sporting events or taking my daughters. I'll sit at home with my 70-inch TV, with my DVR, my toilet, and my drink, and I don't need to deal with it. I'm not doing it.
Boy, the descriptions this morning, like that, are just, huh? They're just off the charts good.
The common folk.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I'm not paying $15 for a beer, waiting 9 minutes to take a you-know-what. I'm not and watching this nut job think he's in ECW. No.
I mean, if you're going to do this, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, maybe he had a few drinks and is not in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
We've all done stupid things when we've been under the influence.
I tried to ride a hoverboard one time in a parking lot after I had a couple of beers. It didn't work out well.
I'm not saying this guy was, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah. We have the video?
I don't know.
That's right.
I think so.
Well, you have it?
I don't know if I want to play it. I know.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, because I'm... I don't know this person and his face is there. I just feel weird playing something like that.
Me.
You know what I mean?
But so, let's just say this. Several injuries from some of those, dangerous stunts that the mayor did come out. The police came out and said, please don't do that. So we may have an actual tragedy here. Hey, a little bit of Trump. Are you going to do, just real quick, headlines, Wall Street investor Scott Bessent confirmed as the next Treasury Secretary by the Senate yesterday. Wealthy investor seen as a business-friendly choice, confirmed by a vote of 68 to 29. And that signals, I guess, a degree of bipartisan support for the new Treasury Secretary. So we've got that going on.
Ipso facto on YouTube says, call me old-fashioned, but climbing poles is not exactly a big deal. It's a hell of a lot better than burning stuff. Agreed. I agree.
You're only endangering yourself.
I don't care what you're. I'm more talking about the person who drove through the crowd.
Okay.
If you hear gunshots, floor it. I'm flooring it. I don't care. I don't care who's in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't care who's in front of me.
That lady in the SUV though, she was more worried about it than the two guys that we watched on film yesterday.
Yeah.
They were like, oh yeah, it was gunshots.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to get to the big take, so I'll just say this. Flyers won. President Trump talking about an Iron Dome-like shield for the United States, as well as what emergency order did Trump declare to get the water flowing in California? What happened to Jim Acosta? You got to hear this. There's so much Trump news, so much Jim Acosta news. We got it all going on, but we're going to bring you a little magic first. Our sponsor, Kitchen Magic. Just go to kitchenmagic.com today. Start your worry-free remodeling journey. Local, trusted, family-owned company that has been transforming kitchens for 45 years. Kitchenmagic.com. Get a little magic. Kitchen Magic, thank you for sponsoring Kill & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 617, let's get to a Tuesday morning big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by First Bank. The Big Take, culture, combat, and comedy. The MAGA movement toward America. As Dawn said 2 years ago, Donald Trump didn't create the MAGA movement. He answered it. That statement rings true today as the popular vote is in his favor, but it goes well beyond politics. MAGA has become a cultural force. It has permeated its way into culture, combat, comedy, colleges, and competition. The Trump dance, certainly a vibe, a viral sensation. But celebrations are over. Sure, there will be celebrations with policy victories like the immigration numbers at the border, deportations. But the focus is now carrying out the mission statement as we are seeking and now seeing in many respects Trump's second week be in full swing. And look, Trump will come and go. The indelible impressions of 2024 will live on forever in history, museums, and minds. But if this second term goes as well as many hope, it'll be the platform that endures in elections to come, especially for the Republican Party. That is because today's youth is enamored with MAGA, and the next generation is flocking to the Republican Party like we haven't seen. CNN's Harry Enten illustrates just how popular Donald Trump has become compared to his past term and also a prior attempt at re-election. Listen and watch clip one of Harry.
Look, the American people really like what they're seeing, at least compared to where Donald Trump started 8 years ago, right? All right, this is Donald Trump's net approval rating. This is Reuters, Ipsos. It's among adults. It was taken the first few days of this administration. Look here. Back in January 2017, Donald Trump became the first president in history to start his presidency with a net negative approval rating. Look at where we are now in January 2025. Considerably better at plus 6 points. That's up 9 points. To borrow a Donald Trump phrase, this is big league. This is a sign that the American people, at least initially, like what they're seeing. And so you see right here, more Americans approve of Donald Trump's job than disapprove. And that is very much, very much unlike what we saw 8 years ago.
And it's not that Trump has changed that much. It's that he is viewed to be more spot on with what matters to the everyday voter. Voters' priorities now match and align with his policies, creating this marriage between person and politician. The New York Times with a headline, quote, "When your son goes MAGA," they write, quote, "Some liberal parents face a new unexpected challenge. How to talk to their children who voted for Donald Trump," end quote. You have to love legacy media. As if this is the equivalent of talking to your child who is in prison for committing a major felony or murder. Should actually be the other way around, honestly. How a young adult talks to his or her parent that didn't vote for Trump and can't understand it. Harry Enten of CNN with more data on the rise of MAGA. Listen and watch.
Compare the rating now to the entire first term.
Yeah, so it's not just that he's doing better than where he was doing 8 years ago. It's that he's doing better than he ever did during his entire first administration. So I again look.
He never was over plus three.
He was never over plus three. The highest rating he ever, his highest ever net approval rating was plus three in March of.
Your choice of photo is quite.
He likes
amazing.
What he's seeing. He's smirking at the American at
I
the American
think
media.
He just doesn't like you.
Maybe not. Although he should like these numbers and the way I'm presenting them. You look at January 2025. Look at that again. You get plus six. So Donald Trump isn't just in a better position than he was 8 years ago at this point. He's in a better position than he was at any point during his entire first term. Things have very much turned around. This is a very different Donald Trump. He's leading a very different administration the way he's attacking things. And the American public is very much more in line with him than they were at any point during his entire first term.
Never more popular, never more accepted, never more mainstream. And it's quite the college campus 180 from the fall of 2023. Remember the woke, progressive, anti-Semitic, pro-Gaza, Ivy League uproars and protests in October of 2023? Well, times are changing. The Wall Street Journal with a column headline, quote, "The rise of young Republicans on America's college campuses." They write the following, quote, "When Donald Trump was first elected president, universities set out milk and cookies for rattled undergraduates. College students who wore MAGA hats were berated by classmates. This time around, those same hats are eliciting fist bumps and nods. College conservatism hasn't gone mainstream on left-leaning campuses, but the stigma against Republicans is lifting," end quote. I wouldn't even call it college conservatism. To me, it's populism and it's in popular demand. One last piece on the historical element of Trump's reputation reversal. Listen and watch this.
Me back in history.
Take you back in history. So it was so interesting to me that Donald Trump's first net approval rating of his second term is higher than his entire first term. And I was interested, has that ever happened? Has the second term net approval rating in the first month, have you ever had a higher rating than any net approval rating during the entire first term? Donald Trump is the only.
I have really a hard time believing this.
This is 100% true. I went back. I love spreadsheets. Donald Trump's is the first guy ever whose net approval rating in the first month of his second term is higher than any rating that he had is an entire first term, Kate Baldwin.
And it's not just with families where parents have sons who now vote for Trump. It's not just in colleges. It's in combat as well. Rolling Stone with a great column headline, quote, "Empire of Blood, How Dana White and UFC Conquered America." They write, "There are two men bleeding in a chain link cage in front of the next president of the United States. A week and a half ago, Donald Trump was elected for his second term, and now he is back home at the center of the world, underneath the lights at Madison Square Garden, watching the greatest gladiators of our time fight in a canvas and steel octagon," end quote. They go on to write about the relationships forged by Trump with Dana White and Joe Rogan. But if you think about it, UFC and their fever pitch fan base, it's American culture personified, is it not? Men love action, drama, violence, type A alphas, competition, theater, and combat. It's why the NFL is so popular. It's why the WWE is so popular. The UFC is actually a microcosm of what men rejected last November in the election. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, Doug Emhoff, Chuck Schumer, they don't represent us. The UFC embraces free speech and masculinity, and nobody bought the toxification of what men enjoy. ESPN's Stephen A. Smith told Bill Maher on his HBO show that Trump was able to read the room and the Democrats didn't when it pertains to the heartbeat of Americana. Listen and watch this.
Here's the deal. The man was impeached twice. He was convicted on 34 felony counts. And the American people still said he's closer to normal than what we see.
Exactly.
Left. That's what they're saying. He's closer to normal. Why? Because something that pertains, when you talk about the transgender community, for example, and you're talking about the issues that pertain to less than 1% of the population, the Democratic Party came across as if that was a priority more so than the other issues. And so he comes into office. Now you're talking about childbirth, citizenship, and what have you. He knows that's not going to pass the mustard, but he knows that he made that promise. So when he shows up week one on Capitol Hill and he says, this is what we're going to do through an executive order, even though it's going to be shot down through the courts and what have you, he's saying, I kept my promise. A lot of other things that he's going to point to that he's going to try to do. I kept my promise. Then you turn around and you look at the left and you say, what promises did you keep? Now, you might know the answer to that. I'm certainly not questioning your knowledge about that at all. What I'm saying is, what resonated with the voter? What voter out there can look at the Democratic Party at this moment in time and say, there's a voice for us, somebody that speaks for us, that goes up on Capitol Hill and fights the fights that we want them fighting on our behalf? They didn't do that. And that's why their behinds are home and that man is back into the White House, and they want to sit up there and talk. You look at the networks right now, they're talking about him. Look at it. This is the latest. Look at him. Here he goes again. Well, you know what here he goes again means? He's doing what he said he was going to do. He promised you he was going to do these things, and he walked into office week one, and that's exactly what he's doing. And he's saying, y'all do something about it. And when you try to do something about it, he's going to say, look at them now. Now they're concerned about these issues. Were they talking about that during the campaign? Hell no. That's really it.
Yeah. Well,
the lesson learned is you can't cater to the fringes or 1% or 7% of America on the campaign trail, lose, and then vilify that mass majority that rejected you. It doesn't work that way. But lastly, another American institution that liberals have fallen out of touch with. TheCollegeFix.com with a story headline, "These professors get it. Liberals aren't funny anymore." And that also helped Donald Trump win. They write, "The right has become a home for comedians, where there are funnier things to do than to argue with people all day, every day." Quote, "It didn't matter if you were Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter. Johnny Carson was going to bust on you. His successor, Jay Leno, was also pretty good at that." End quote. They go on to write about how today's shows with Colbert and Kimmel and Fallon, they don't subscribe to that approach. But the truth is, no matter where you look, American institutions have got to come to grips with this. It's called acceptance, just like acceptance from fringe social communities. 9 years later, it's happening for the face, the voice, and the culture of one of America's two major parties, the MAGA movement. You can call it conservative, you can call it populism, call it common sense, just call it a vibe, almost a decade in the making. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by First Bank. If you are ready to drive your business success with a trusted local partner, well, First Bank is for you. Count on First Bank for personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, you can get us on social media as well as the YouTube chat. It's Kale and Company live on a Tuesday morning. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Grand opening of King Shooter Supply right out there at 346 East Church Road, KOP. I'll be hanging out from 2 to 4 p.m. Gun store, shooting range. They are expanding with additional lanes, now a total of 14 lanes, very accessible parking, and everything great on the inside that you've come to respect and love with this great business. King Shooter Supply, KOP location,
coming up this Sunday from 2 to 4. It'll be the beginning of something. There's no doubt about it, because we will eventually, I think, one day get out there for like a Kale and Company range thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're going to send Phil out to do some video.
Yeah.
I think that you need to shoot something.
I do. Not myself and not another human being.
No.
Like a Florida cop removing a firearm from a waistband.
With the with the supervision of one of the great people there at maybe Brian.
Yeah.
Over there at King Shooters.
Yeah.
He can help you.
Yeah, maybe they start off with a paintball gun initially or a water pistol, and I'll work my way up.
It's worth going to King Shooters on Sunday just to see this.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a good time. Yeah. All right, so let's get to this story. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was sitting on a couple of stories for a few weeks and then a couple of the last couple of days. And then, Greg, you had this story from the New York Times yesterday that you mentioned in passing with the headline, "When Your Son Goes MAGA."
Yep.
And then I'm looking and I got this story here from the College Fix about how college professors saying that liberals are not funny and comedians are thriving with the right nowadays. And then you factor in the Wall Street Journal article with young college students trending Republican. I mentioned the UFC and how Trump and UFC culture conquered America. And then I'm reading this New York Times article after you highlighted it yesterday. And I swear to God, this is basically the story of me against my mother-in-law. Except when your son-in-law goes MAGA. It was Kaylee Holterman wrote for the New York Times. I just want to give you like five or six sentences here. She says, "It's easy for Alex Baer to gush about her son, Eli, whom she describes as a generous and thoughtful college junior. It is much harder for her to talk about his politics. Miss Baer, 59, a Democrat in Portland, Oregon, who voted enthusiastically for Kamala Harris in the November election. She and her ex-husband were appalled that her son, Eli, 20, decided to cast his vote in a presidential election this fall for Donald J. Trump. When Eli brought a MAGA hat home from college this summer, Miss Baer threw it into the corner of his bedroom. They argued about guns, immigration, and abortion, struggling to do so without permanently damaging their relationship." Sounds just like me and my mother-in-law. She says, "Facts don't matter to you" in a text message. "I love you, my son. Have a good day." Again, sounds just like my mother-in-law. A few months removed from Trump's victory, the two have arrived at an impasse. She says, "My son's not afraid to say what he thinks. He seems like what he says is coming from him instead of coming from a big cabinet behind you telling you what to say. Although this time around, there's a fresh wrinkle. Young voters as a whole preferred Ms. Harris. Mr. Trump secured a second term in office with the help of an improved performance amongst young men. That has, in some families, exposed a different dynamic. Liberal parents contending with their MAGA sons." Dawn, you don't have to worry about that because it's a unanimous decision in your household.
I'm a MAGA mom.
You're a MAGA mom.
So...
But have you ever had like one of your besties call you upset, crying on the phone, and you're like, "What's wrong? Oh, please tell me so-and-so doesn't have cancer. It's not COVID. He didn't join ISIS, did he?" And then they say, "No, Dawn, my son went MAGA." He didn't go to Jared. He went to MAGA. I don't understand. I think what's really fascinating is that people, you always hear this term. It's like a psychological counseling term. I hear this all the time. "Let me process. I need to process." Like, what are you, an IBM from 1997? What are you processing? These people still can't understand why they lost, but more importantly, maybe accepting the fact that some people just like Trump. And they're liking him in waves that we've never seen before. That's why I wanted to play those three clips from Harry Enten. Never has a president in his first month of his second term had such a positive net swing compared to any point in his first term. I don't understand, really, and I know I bring up my mother-in-law. We do have a great relationship, believe it or not. Mm. But it's just amazing that some people can't understand why you vote for the other side. Like, they might have even been okay with you being a Bush guy back in the day, but they can't understand this.
I'll be honest with you. If anybody calls me and they're upset about politics when, let's say, they, you know, because I have some girlfriends and relatives who are very liberal, very progressive. And so I just listen and I say, "You're right." And they say what they're going to say, because when somebody calls me and they're emotional like that, that tells me it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with their, whatever their, like you said, the word processing, they're going through something. So I'm just going to focus on being supportive and loving and supporting them. But they're not having a conversation about politics. The reason we support Trump is because we look at what he's doing and he gets results and he gets it. And he doesn't play around with all this nonsense. And, you know, with this DEI, I thought about this. Remember we talked about DEI and how Bill Maher, I think, was one of the first people on a national stage, a Democrat, to say, what's going on with all of this? Because it's why, how do you explain that there are kids in certain parts of the country, California, the left coast or the east coast, and they're the ones going through all of this stuff with identity, but then kids in certain parts of the middle of the country, nobody's dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain those stats?
It's cultural.
And so I wondered yesterday, I was driving home, I thought, you know what? I wonder now how this makes a cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
And does all of this, putting this front stage, does it change the fact that these kids won't feel like they have to do this to be accepted? Because that's what I feel like. I feel like they were doing it to be seen and to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you hear any vibration, no, it's not my phone on silent. They're doing the construction. I can hear it in my ears, but if you guys hear it on the air, just
can we not do construction at 6:42 in the morning?
I know, in the dark?
When there are morning drive radio stations or radio shows that are going on.
Can anybody else hear that, or is that just me?
I'm hearing it.
That make the bulk of the money for most radio stations. Can we stop right now, please? Thank you.
Just wanted to let everybody know. So, no, it's not my phone.
You know what it reminds me of? This one reporter that I used to work with, I'll say her first name is C. And she was a real pain and diva to work with.
She was a real C.
She was
real T.
So they were going on some trip, you know, some special assignment. So her photographer slips a little something in her carry-on bag that might sound like that. That when she goes through,
that's not mine.
What? I've never seen that before. And of course, she's a television person, so. Yeah, TSA had fun with that one.
There you go. All right, so you say, you know, we gravitate towards Trump because he gets things done. He doesn't mess around. I agree, he gets things done, but I would disagree. He does mess around, and he does get caught up in a lot of stuff that really doesn't matter. But if you have success and you get results, you get more rope from your base. Point in case, we got to get to the Inquirer story. Now, I believed on you might have talked about this late in your show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia Inquirer headline, Trump congratulates the Chiefs for reaching the Super Bowl, but not the Eagles. He says on Truth Social, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. What a great team, coach, quarterback, and virtually everything else, including those fantastic fans that voted for me, MAGA, in record numbers, Trump wrote on Truth Social. Likewise, congratulating the losers, the Buffalo Bills, on a tremendous season. They do a lot of winning long into the future. As we know, the Eagles and Chiefs will play on February 9th. So he omitted not only the Eagles, but also the Washington Commanders. And we mentioned this yesterday. I think this was in our interview with Harry Mays at 9:30 when we were talking about the NFC Championship, that in 2018, so it was the 2017 season, 2018 Super Bowl, the Eagles won. They did not attend the White House. Trump tweeted in June of 2018, obviously prior to his official Twitter suspension back in the day now. Unfortunately, only a small number of players decided to come and we canceled the event. Staying in the locker room for the playing of our national anthem is as disrespectful to our country as kneeling. Sorry. Okay, so I find myself in the unique position of being a Trump voter and an Eagles fan. And I don't like this response. Now, I will say, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter politically. I'm being petty here. I totally understand it. But as an Eagle fan, I'm like, all right, come on, man. I mean, let's think about this. And I jotted down a few things. So they didn't go in 2018. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, I assume, although I've never 100% been told, is a liberal. But based on public sentiment for supporting politicians, I think it's safe to say he's a liberal. And yes, Dawn, you've given the stats. In Philadelphia, it's about a 7-1 Democrat versus Republican voter registration ratio. But that said, I would actually think that there's a lot of players on this Eagles roster compared to if Trump is being honest about there was only a few people that were willing to come 7 years ago, that roster has completely turned over. There might be like 4 or 5 players from that championship team of 7 years ago. I'm going to guess that Lane Johnson is a Trump guy. No idea. If he's not, I apologize. Landon Dickerson, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. lot of guys that grew up in the Southeast that played in, you know, Alabama or Georgia, I think probably voted for Trump. But then with Eagles fans, and this is, I think, the bullet point that I think carries the most weight. Forget the city of Philadelphia. You have Eagles fans all over the state of Pennsylvania. But let's just keep it to our listening area. And we go out to the burbs, Bucks County, Delco, Chester, Montgomery County. Every Sunday morning, and this is not breaking news, but you go out to the grocery store to get your groceries done on a Sunday morning before the birds, all you see is birds apparel. I would think maybe, and maybe I'm being modest here, 40-45% of Eagle fans might be Trump supporters.
Easily.
Yeah. So I don't understand the omitting the Eagles, because 7 years ago, a different group of players were probably like, eh, Trump's more popular now. Trump wasn't popular back then.
It's not like he mentioned. But he didn't mention the Eagles. He's allowed. What if it were
of course
a different?
He's allowed.
What if it's a what if it's basketball? What if it's baseball? What if, you know what I mean? So what? I don't really care. I think that he has gotten to know some of the people from the Chiefs, and I think.
I think Mahomes might even be a Trump supporter.
I'm not going to speak for Andy Reid, but
Reid definitely is
Mormon, definitely. Utah. Like, I know.
At very minimum, he's conservative. I'm not sure if he loves it, Trump, but yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
I mean, and their wives, by the way.
Right, Brittany Mahomes has publicly come out on Instagram and been a Trump supporter. The flack of many.
So he's gotten to know them. That's fine. Just like with Robert Kraft, who was a supporter.
Yes.
Tom Brady. Who cares? I don't care. He's allowed to like who he likes.
That organization, the Eagles organization, stiffed him last time. Mm-hmm. So why would he congratulate him again? It makes zero sense. It's like F you.
A little petty?
I'm not
a little petty?
I'm going. Who cares?
Okay.
He's petty.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's hitting me differently because,
it is.
Yeah. A little bothered by it. It's not the end of the world. I'm not trying to make it out to be massive, but come on, man.
I'm just saying that it's not. They drew a line in the sand last time. That organization did. So he's like, F him.
So let's flip it around.
Here's what I will say, though. I recall, weren't they sending Nick Foles was going to go with like 10 Eagles at the time.
That's what I thought too. Now, granted, I was in Tennessee. I just moved to Tennessee when this happened.
And so the other players were going to have like this optional day or whatever.
Yeah.
And then because the news was breaking, they just said, nah, forget about it.
All right. What happens this time around? Let's say the Eagles beat the Chiefs in 2 weeks. They get the official invitation, and Trump and, Caroline Leavitt, whoever else is involved in this process, extends the invitation. We need a head count. And let's say out of the 53-man roster, 34 Eagles say, yeah, we're in. 19 say, no, thanks, I'll pass. Does Trump extend the invitation?
Yeah.
Do the Eagles go?
I think it's a different day.
I do, too. I think this time around, if they are afforded the opportunity to go, I think they will go. Now, it doesn't mean that Lurie's going to go. Doesn't mean that maybe Howie Roseman will go. I don't know what Howie's political, affiliation is. But I would think maybe 60-65% minimum Eagles players would go. I think Nick Sirianni would go.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, because it's still cool. You meet the president. You're in the Oval Office.
Well, and that's
the White
thing.
House. It's cool.
I mean, let's just say I was in the NFL. And you knew my views on Kamala and Joe. And I won the Super Bowl. For the sake of getting to do something historical, and then also the respect for the office and the country and the position in which it entails, I'm not saying it's your obligation to go.
Yeah.
You can certainly decide to pass. I'm all for free speech and, rejecting an invitation, you could say, is a form of free speech. But, man, you guys got to go in 2016 after Trump got elected in 2017. Is that one of the coolest things you've ever done in your life?
Yes. Yeah, it was very cool being there.
It was an honor.
Let me just say,
like, you can hate politicians, but still respect the sanctity of walking in that building.
Agreed. We all, all got our picture taken, and I told everybody, like, I don't care what your politics are. Just, being in that room with whoever the president is an honor. Mm-hmm. You said something yesterday, Nick, that I think it hit the nail on the head, and it kind of goes back to your big take. I think this time around, the Trump factor is cooler than it was in 2018.
1,000%.
And the fact that UFC has embraced it, Dana White, all the, you know, the quote unquote bro podcasts and all that stuff. I think it's a different day. And I think the Eagles will, 90% of them will go.
Okay.
Yes. If they win.
Okay.
If they win. Now, if the Chiefs win, which Road Warrior brings up on the YouTube chat, he goes, Road Warrior says that Trump is just backing the winner of the Super Bowl.
Could very well be.
Will Travis Kelce go? Will Taylor let him go?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Well, it
who cares?
Depends.
We're not going to know because they're going to lose because they're losers.
Yeah, that's not even a plausible outcome. Tell them, Stensland. We're not tolerating this. Take the Eagles on the money line. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. And then just lastly, to put a bow on this for about 90 seconds, I just checked the Philadelphia 76ers Twitter feed. I mentioned this. So Josh Harris, and I totally forgot about this because the Sixers are just, you know, off my radar. You know, Josh Harris owns the Sixers, but also owns the Washington Commanders.
Yes. And by the way, let me just say this, Nick. I don't mean to interrupt
you. Go ahead.
But did a great job with the Washington Commanders from last season to this season. Huge quick turnaround. Even though they got destroyed by the Philadelphia Eagles, that team is far beyond better than it was last season.
No doubt about it. And I understand all of these teams in the city are fighting for your revenue and entertainment dollars that you have at your, you know, disposable income to, you know, go out for a sporting event, but you can't. I just checked the Sixers Twitter before the show started. They are completely silent the last 2 days on anything Eagles related. The Flyers tweeted out congratulations. The Phillies tweeted out congratulations. The Wings congratulated them. Some team in the PLL. I don't even know what the PLL is. Some, I don't know, Professional Lingerie League. I have no idea what it stands for. A little petty when you're an owner of one of the four major franchises here in the city, and they just beat you because you're in another market owning a second franchise. I don't know. A little,
maybe the social media team of the 76ers was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think Josh Harris honestly send an edict, say, we will not congratulate the Eagles? Do you really think that happened?
I've worked when I was in Nashville. We had the flagship for the hockey team.
Yeah.
And the amount of things that were off limits. Some of these very, very thin-skinned, petty owners. I don't know Josh Harris. Never had a relationship with him. But, I mean, come on, man. Bad look. Just saying. A little city unity here, huh? 855-839-1210. All right, enough sports. Let's come back. We'll get to the news. And then John Fetterman on The View yesterday, getting into the muck when it comes to the Alvin Bragg case. And Fetterman and Hostin go one-on-one. Because she can't understand John Fetterman's shift to the right. It's Kale and Company. Hour 2 is on the way.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.